Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for another wonderful night with you, Lord. We just praise you for all you're going to do too, and all you've already done. Lord, we just thank you and thank you for giving us all the tools that we need to walk the sanctification walk, and also to know that we can trust you for everything. I'm not talking about just some things, Lord. I'm talking about everything. And I thank you, Lord, that you can even guide us and lead us and teach us how to talk like you want us to talk, Lord. And I thank you for doing that. And Lord, get us ready for this wonderful times ahead where this revival is fixing to kick off. And a lot of people coming to you, Lord, and we're going to help get that kingdom going. Get us ready to be able to help those people, Father, in the name of Jesus, because the harvest is white to harvest. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that when this shaking comes, we're going to be prepared. We're also going to know and have the promises and trust you for them, that we can. We know when we pray, we have an open heaven, because the devil doesn't stand a chance around us because you're here. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, I know in your word you said you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And the enemy right now has been bad broadband, and we command complete freedom from any kind of interruptions tonight, from any broadband interruptions, any internet interruptions in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that everybody's going to have a good, solid connection and be able to communicate whatever it is that they need to communicate in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all the healings that has already taken place and the ones that are fixing to. And we praise you for it. And we bind up and cast out of here any kind of hindering spirits at all in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we thank you that everybody is pumped up and excited about Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that has filled us to overflowing where there ain't nothing left but you, Lord. We praise you, Father, and glorify you, Lord, for all that you're going to do this evening in your people or this morning, however what the case may be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Woo! Glory to God. Help me, Jesus. All right. Got any prayer requests? Okay. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
A few weeks ago, probably it's been about a month or so ago, we prayed for my nephew's father-in-law. He was in ICU on a ventilator with COVID, and he was in the hospital for 2 months. And I guess the hospitals are really full down there in Texas where they are. And so anyway, they went ahead and sent him home. But he's very, very weak. He's on breathing treatment 6 times a day. He is a believer. They're Catholic, but they're generous and they're kind. There is some fruit of the Spirit there. And so I want to pray for him and also for my nephew, because my nephew was quite a believer when he was in his late teens. He really loved the Lord. And he had a heart to serve the Lord. He's early 30s now. He's a lawyer. He's quite smart, but he's a good kid. But I guess my nephew's wife and my nephew's mother-in-law, who's married to the guy that's been so sick, they've been really negative and just very discouraged over everything and speaking a lot of curses. But Zach has been speaking faith. My nephew's been speaking faith. He says, I choose to believe that, you know, my father-in-law is going to be healed. Mm-hmm. And so I want to pray about all this. Okay. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that when we prayed for Bernie, you know, a few weeks ago, you didn't take him home. You didn't let him die. A lot of them never make it off the ventilator when they've been on that long. And, Father, you preserved his life. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. And, Father, I know a believer, at least to some extent. It's, you know, Catholics are Catholics, but you're, you know, you see their hearts. And Lord, you can even draw them out of that Catholic deception. And so, Father, we lift Bernie up to the throne of grace, and we command healing, complete healing to his lungs, that all these breathing treatments are just totally unnecessary. Father, we command strength and to his body, energy to his body. It doesn't matter that he's been in bed for over 2 months. Lord, that he's just going to, I command the healing virtue from the throne of grace to come and minister healing to Bernie right now.
Amen.
And Father, I pray that you would encourage him. I pray that you would, he would just have a special visitation from the Holy Spirit to strengthen him in the inner man and to enlighten the eyes of his understanding and grant unto him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And Lord, that you just build him up in his most holy faith. And Lord, that he's just going to be a walk and talk and testimony of what Jesus did for him. And Father, I thank you for Zach, my nephew. Lord, I know you remember how much Zach loved you when he was young. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe you're reviving the spirit man in him, raising him up to walk in faith, speak faith. And Father, you put it on my heart to send him a copy of Sovereign God. And Lord, that when he gets that, he's going to want to read it. And it's really going to minister to him. It's really going to enlighten the eyes of his understanding. And I just pray, Lord, that the seeds of faith that were planted in him years ago are going to be watered when he reads that book. And Lord, it's just going to bear forth an abundance of fruit. And he's going to be a bright and shining light there in the family. And even to my sister and to his dad, that you're raising Zach up to be a mighty man of God. So, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for what you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Marilyn and Barry, and we believe everything she's prayed is being taken place right now, even as we speak, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to Bernie right now. And we break the power of Satan off of Bernie right now in Jesus' name. We break the power of Catholicism off of him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that the spiritual eyes of Bernie has been opened, and he is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe it, Lord of God. You've done it. Lord, you've done it. Come up out of that bed of affliction in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it. I know that man is healed. I know it. And not only that, Lord, I ask that you fill that man up with your spirit. And when he comes out of that bed, he'll be speaking in tongues and just empty the hospital. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we got a revival going on wherever he is in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. I believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Bernie, you be healed. Amen. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Raise your hand if you believe it. Everybody believe it. Thank you, Jesus. That's a done deal. If I ever seen a done deal, that's a done deal. Thank you, Jesus. Is that Malcolm got your hand raised? Go ahead, brother.
Indeed, I do. My brother got COVID along with his wife. And it's kind of awkward because they're running a care center. Anyway, he ended up, his lungs got worse and worse, and so he very belatedly got on some of the standard stuff that's quite effective, but he needed to start a little earlier. So he's in the hospital right now. He survived the night last night and has pneumonia, or that's what they're saying. And right now he's on his stomach trying to, I guess they do that with people with pneumonia before they you know, instead of a ventilator or whatever. But anyway, I'm just, like I mentioned, Michael, earlier, I'm praying for all my relatives and my wife's relatives as well, that they'll be granted repentance and learn to walk by faith themselves. So, Lord, I just pray for Danny. I just pray that he look to you, the serpent on the pole, who bore his sin, and learn to exercise faith in you and grant him repentance and all these things that he needs. Lord, I just pray that he be a mighty warrior for you back in Nepal and here in the States as well. And whatever you have in mind, Lord, but I just pray for him that, I'd like to have already prayed and cast down a lot of stuff. I just thank you, Lord, you're doing all that. You're dealing with the situation. I don't have to worry about it because everything's in your hands. And I just pray also that you will give all of our relatives, Lord, mine, but also people here on the call, or give our relatives, grant them mercy, grant them repentance, because of this great plague that's coming, that they are granted repentance and they live to see the great and mighty work you're going to do, and bring many, many of them, Lord, into your kingdom as a hardcore harvest workers, Lord. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of our families. Thank you, Lord. Everything that we prayed for our families is coming true. We thank you. We trust you, Lord, to fulfill this household salvation that you've given us. And we thank you for it, Father, because we know tough times is coming and they need to be right with you. And Lord, I ask and I pray right now that you send, that the Lord of the harvest send people out there to speak to our family members, to bring them in, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anyone else? Yes, what's your name, Anna?
I got a testimony, if that's okay, while the kids are a little bit tired, and I know it's prayer time, but thought I might give it while I can here. They're being kind of loud most of the time. So I think most people realize or know that we've been staying with my parents because of the rental house we had. Our landlords decided to sell it. And so it's been 7 months now and we've been praying and looking and couldn't find anything. We found one house and the guy took my deposit on it and said, you know, he'll let me know when it's ready. But then he just told me to come get my deposit back because it was taking him too long. And then we found out that he sold the house instead. So we've just been waiting on the Lord. And then Lakeisha let me know about a house and they were asking $200 more than what we could pay. But the real estate lady said, well, I think she'll go down $200 for the right tenants with a good, you know, rental history of taking care of the property. So we prayed about it, that she would give us favor. And the lady came back and said, well, I'll go down 100, but I can't go down 200. So Matthew asked the Lord and the Lord said, no. But today she called me back and she said the lady and her husband were praying about us and they will give it to us for the $200 less than they were asking. So thank you, Lord. He's just came through and it's exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, real house, not a mobile home. It's got a garage and a large fenced yard.
Awesome. Where is it? Over by Lakeisha?
It's near-ish to Sandy. And 3 weeks ago, listen to this part. About 3 weeks ago, Sandy told me, she said, Anna, I had a dream where you called me and said, Sandy, can you watch the kids? We found a house and it's near you. So praise God.
Okay. Is it just down the road, but down ballpark from them?
It's a little closer to town than that, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow at the
Okay, Bible. That'd be good. That'd be fine.
So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answer to prayer. In Jesus' name. That's awesome. Okay. Anybody else? I do want to pray. Julie reminded me that Lynn Wood's coming under great persecution. They've turned his family against him, apparently. And he's just being persecuted for being a Christian, for being a Christian and doing the right thing and telling the truth. So, Lord, we do. We lift up Lynn to you. We thank you, Father, for your angels that surround about it and put your love into him, Lord. And, Lord, we know that sometimes that you do this to get rid of the flesh. And but, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you don't give him any more than he can handle, that he'll come out on the other side a true, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, powerful man of God in Jesus' name. Lord, the lawyer ease in him goes out the door and Jesus comes in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for using this man in a mighty way to do whatever it is that you want him to do, Lord. Thank you, Father, for helping Lynn Wood in this endeavor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it's done. Thank you, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him with you. Holy Spirit.
Michael, I'd like to pray for Paul Rand. I saw on YouTube where he is coming against the Democrats for this impeachment thing that he's wanting, that the Democrats want to do against Trump.
Yeah.
And I heard that message. It was really good. He was really putting them down.
Rand Paul?
Yeah, the Democrat. He was putting the Democrats down for what they were trying to do to Trump. He says, you can't impeach somebody that's already out of office. It's crazy. But anyway, he was speaking it, and it was in one of the government rooms, you know, all the chairs and everything. But so, Lord, I just lift him up to you, Lord. I pray, Father, for that stand that he took, and I pray that you will protect him and cover him and keep him in yourself. And I don't know if he knows you, but I pray that he would get to know you if he doesn't, but that you would put that protection on him and his family, Lord, and even bring him continually to stand on the righteousness, and that anything that the deep state would try to do against him would not come to pass. They would not be able to harm him or his family in any way. And we pray that also for Lynn Wood and his family, even if they have come against him, that they would come to their senses and recognize that this is the work of the enemy. We break the power of Satan over these families. Thank you for the work that they're doing, the walk that they're doing, that they are standing for righteousness. And thank you, Father, for blessing them and helping them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, a prayer. Yeah, let's see if we got a little time. We will. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I saw it too. All right. Anybody else? I got a testimony. This is testimony time. Testimony time. All right. Today, a beautiful day. Blue skies for change. Thank you, Jesus. 65 degrees. And I went, I'm telling you, it could have been another 20 degrees as far as I'm concerned, but 65, I'll take it. It's a whole lot better than 45. But anyway, went walking out of Fort Loudoun. And I went walking. I generally go a certain route all the time. Missy knows the route that I always go. This time, I took a different route. I went down, Missy, for your information, I went around the pasture, the open field. And I came up to the gate, to the front gate, and I was walking up the road there, and this lady stops in a little white Toyota. She started talking to me, and I said, hang on just a minute. I got to come over there because I can't even understand a word you're saying. And I went over there, and she started talking. She had a book in her hand. She said, would you like to have this? And she started telling me what was in it and something about the Constitution and all of this stuff. And then she got to talking to, you know, about some other stuff. And I said, I asked her, I said, you're a Jehovah's Witness? She said, no, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I said, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't want to get caught up with no Jehovah's Witness. Anyway, we got to talking, real nice young lady, about my age, real young lady. And what? Come on now. Anyway, cars were stopping because I was out in the middle of the road. And I said, I tell you what, I'm fixing to walk back to the truck. I said, just meet me at the parking lot. And I told her what my truck looked like. And she said, okay. So she turned around and she went back to the truck. And when I got back there, she was there waiting on me. We went down to the picnic table and started talking. And she was a missionary for the Cherokee Indians over in North Carolina on the reservation over there. They've got a large reservation over there that she's been a missionary to. Anyways, that's what she did. And she was moved here to a family or something. I don't understand it. But anyway, she moved over close to another town over Sweetwater. And we got to talking. She said, and I told her, I said, she asked me what church I belong to. I said, I don't belong to a church. I said, she said, well, what denomination are you? She said, are you Baptist? I laughed at her. I said, no, I'm not Baptist. I said, but we're believers. I said, you know what a believer is? She said, yes, it's a follower of Jesus Christ. I said, okay, well, we good. That's, you got the first question. Good. That's a good one. Let's talk. And so we got to talking, and I had a Sovereign God book. She gave me these other books, two books. Anyway, I started talking about Sovereign God and told her all about it, you know, and everything. And she was real interested. She said, well, what do you have a fellowship? I said, yeah, we got a fellowship. She said, it's not a mega church by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it's a home fellowship. She said, man, I said, I'd love to go to that. I said, well, you can. You're welcome to come. So anyway, we traded her stuff. And so Friday night, she's going to hopefully show up at the meeting and be blessed. I forgot to ask her if she was spirit-filled. But then I got home. I got home and I said, David, take a look at this while I run to the bathroom. And he looked at it and he hollered at me and he said, you know what this is? I said, no, what is it? He said, it's Ellen White stuff. I said, oh my goodness gracious. That's, Malcolm knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's, I think everybody does. It's SDA stuff, Seventh-day Adventist. And, but you know, there's Christians in those. There's Christians in them. There's people who love the Lord. And, but she was so open to hear anything. I said, and I told her, as I always tell everybody, you know, I said, look, read this book and just remember this. Anything that you read in the Word of God that's contrary to your religion, which one are you going to take, your religion or the Word of God? You know, she said, well, of course, the Word of God, you know, just taken aback. You know, I said, well, good. Then we're on good terms. And read it. And if it doesn't come, you know, if it doesn't suit you, if it doesn't agree with you, put it on the shelf, what you don't like, and then ask the Lord about it. Anyway, we're going to, hopefully she'll show up Friday night and she'll have a wonderful time and be filled with the Holy Spirit and just have a great time with us. So that's my testimony. So let's pray for Janet. That's her name, is Janet. Janet. Lord, we lift up Janet to you. You know who I'm talking about, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you do open up her mind's eye and her ears, spiritual ears, to hear the things of you, Lord, and to see and to experience the love of Christ in this fellowship, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that when she gets there, that she'll want everything that you have to offer her, Lord, and not just these limited church things. That she'll want everything that you have, Lord. And that's the love, the peace, the rest, and all of the stuff that goes with it. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for Janet. She seems like a real sweet lady. And Lord, we just thank you for opening up her heart to receive the goodness of your love, Lord, from this fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Missy, you'll get to meet her. Hopefully. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Lord. Okay. Missy. Missy's waving. Hey, what's up, girl? Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Hello. I spoke to my mom yesterday. This is a testimony and also prayer request. I had sent her the song "I Will Wait for You" by Shane and Shane, and she called me, and I was thinking about calling my parents. You know, I was thinking about the day before, and I was thinking, you know, about doing it yesterday, and so I was listening to the song "I Will Wait for You," and my mom calls me, and she says, "I just want to thank you in person rather than email," is what she meant by that. And I'm like thinking, what? She says, "I love that song." She says, "I've been sending it to a lot of people and it's just so blessed me." She says, I said, "Well, I was just listening to it when you called." And she says, "And I just got done listening to it 3 times in a row." And anyway, she said she gave it to the pastor at the chapel there in their retirement community, and they played it, they put it up on the screen and all or whatever and played it, and she says it's just really blessed her, and she says that's just really what we need right now, you know. And so anyway, and I was talking to her about President Trump a little bit, and she said something to me, "Did you see about whatever?" And I said, "Mom," I said, "I'm not even listening to the news. I don't go and look at it really myself at all, you know. And I mean, I might glance at something somebody sends me, just like at the headline or whatever. But anyway, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, the Lord told me, you know, he said to me, the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. And then he also spoke to me, this was like Thursday or Friday, that the Lord was showing me these things. He says to me, when you look at the news and looking to see what man's doing and all, and all, you're not trusting in me. And then when David put the, you know, listened to the Bible study on Sunday, I'm like, yes, 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 you know, because it was just like, it was just everything that the Lord was speaking to me, you know. And, you know, it's like when I would look at the news, I would be, you know, looking to see what they're doing, you know, and, you know, looking and also, you know, wanting to see what there's there to pray about or whatever. But all it would do is just make me anxious and all, and, you know, not happy with what I was, you know, seeing, you know. And it's like, you know, we're supposed to be walking by faith, not by sight. We know what the Lord told us, you know, and all. But anyway, I was sharing all that with her. I didn't share as much as I just did with you guys. But anyway, but she's there for a while. She was on shaky ground concerning Trump, and I wouldn't say she's completely on board, but she's much more open to hearing and believing that he's going to be back in there. I said, "Mom," I said, you know, God's going to make sure he gets back in there. I said, it's what the Lord wants. And I forget what all I said to her, but, and she mentioned about she mentioned about that she was, I think, going today to get some injections in her knee. She has, I think, basically arthritis, and her knee is deteriorating. And she had like 3 injections quite a while back, and they did good for her for a while. And so she's going to get 3 more. And basically, just what it is if these don't help her, then basically, I think they're saying a knee replacement. So, Lord, I've been asking you, Lord, to preserve and keep my mom and dad. And you're doing that, you know. But you know, the thing that I'm believing for is that you're going to heal them, and that that they're going to trust and believe in you for their healing. And I know this is a preserving, you know, that my mom doesn't actually have to have surgery and stuff. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're very gracious and merciful, Lord, and you meet people where they're at. But I thank you, Lord, that my mom's gonna, and dad both are gonna believe you for complete healing and restoration and all. And I ask, Lord, that you bring my mom and dad to that. And I thank you, Lord, for your mercy in this and these injections in her knee, Lord. And I just thank you for giving them the faith. And Lord, there was something she was saying she was going to have an MRI for. And I think that's something else or whatever. But Lord, I just, I thank you, Lord, for preserving my mom in that too. And that they're not going to find anything, Lord. And I cast down the curse that my mom thinks there's something wrong with her kidneys because of something or whatever. And I'm like, nope. In my mind, I'm like, nope, nope. I cast that down. There's nothing wrong with my mom's kidneys. They work perfectly fine in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. And
amen. Thank you, Lord.
But anyway, after I got off the phone with her, and you know, just the whole conversation about the music and everything, and how the Lord just sovereignly worked that I was listening to it, that song and everything, I was just like, and then I had a good conversation with her about President Trump and all, and what God's doing. I was just so praising the Lord and thanking him. You know, I had tears in my eyes, and I was like, just praising him and thanking him. I praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. And
amen.
My mom knows that it's you, Lord. We got to trust in you, that you can work through man, Lord. But I know you're doing more than just working through man. I know that you're working in ways that we don't see, but we know what you've promised us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Missy, I was thinking about that video you wanted me to play. That goes against everything else that we've been listening to. That Trump's going to be in there for 4 years. So I don't know. I don't know what he's getting, you know, unless he's talking about after.
I think it's very symbolic. I think it's just representing what he's going through right now. And I don't think it means that he's not going to be in there. I'm curious to see what David has to say about it.
I don't know. I don't know. Did you send it to him?
Yeah, I did. But I forgot to send the link, duh. And he so he said. Oh,
that's what he was cussing about then. Okay.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. I'm just kidding.
So I sent him the link then. But I think it's I think it's a very important dream to understand. I really don't think that it's contrary to what we've been told. I think it's just what is happening right now.
All right, we'll show it and see what everybody says. Y'all want to see it? Anybody not want to see it, raise your hand. Everybody want to see it? Okay, we'll see it. Missy wins out. Oh, my. Well, all right, can y'all see it? Okay.
At the 7 minute mark, recording
this,
done.
And we'll be posting it on to.
With the dream part.
What?
At the 7 minute mark is when he's done with the dream. Yeah. So yeah. That's it's only 7 minutes
at noon ago. Today, and it's a dream I've had over the last several this last weekend, and I've seen glimpses and pieces of it before. Some of it's very easy to understand what's going on, and I'll make a few comments. I don't usually want to make comments about the dreams. But here's what I saw. First of all, I saw a hospital nursery filled with hundreds and hundreds of cribs with babies, and many were crying, some were sleeping. And I saw maybe 12 to 15 nurses who were running everywhere trying to take care of all these babies. And it was obvious they were stressed. They were sweating. They were nervous. They were running from here to there. One baby, they'd get one baby put down, another would start crying. And this room was huge, like an auditorium. They kept saying there were not enough of them and they needed help. Actually calling out for help. Anybody here? Can anybody help? Please come help us. Please come help us. They were still unable to help take care of all those babies. And some of the nurses were holding two and three babies at a time, trying to feed them, trying to calm them, trying to get them calmed down, put back into the cribs. And that man that I see so often was dressed as a doctor in a white coat. Just looked plain into the room and he said, "The harvest is full, but not enough for helping." I understand that's a reference. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So early was showing us that there's some major revival about to happen. But we've got to be ready to help assist. We've got to be ready to help disciple. We've got to be ready to help pour our lives into people who become Christians. And there's not enough committed to that. So stay open, stay faithful, stay ready. Then the next thing I saw was watching, and there were two F-16s flying in a circle around the boundaries of the city, of the capital. And they would circle, and then they would fly towards each other, but not in the same line, not head on. And then when they got to the other side, they would do that circle again. And they were both circling in different directions. It was not two F-16s circling together like this. It was one going this way. They were meeting, going around. Each of those F-16s, I used to live in Terre Haute right next to a military Air Force base or an Air Force area, and we saw F-16s take off all the time, so I know what they look like. But they had sensor-like equipment on the bottom of them, as well as missiles under each wing, and the pilots were watching very close to the airspace. You could see the pilots talking to one another and looking and watching in the perimeter. Then I saw the Capitol building, excuse me, and inside the chamber, there was what looked like furnaces, but no wood, no fires. It was like a suction device under the in where you would put the wood. And I saw congressmen and senators, and they were shoveling stacks of $100 bills into those fireplace areas. Sorry, my security system just let me know that we have stranger danger in the room. No. But these congressmen were shoveling stacks of $100 bills in that fireplace, and they were being sucked up through those pipes. And then we're flying with the wind in every single direction, out and about, but nothing was landing on the ground. Nothing was landing on the ground. And there were people on the ground in coats and gloves, and they were looking up and jumping up to grab the money, but it was too far above them, and they couldn't get it in their hands. Even people on top of the buildings had nets and bags, but they could not reach the money as it flew past them. Then the next thing I saw was up in the balcony of the Capitol, and there were about 30 congressmen and senators, I know who I saw. I'm not going to say names for this one. And they were barricaded into the middle section there. And it was obvious that some of them had been beaten. Some of them had been abused physically. They were surrounded by a police unit, non-military, with rifles, with body armor, helmets, and they had faces that were covered. And they were being very aggressive towards the elected officials that were kind of rounded up in this middle section of the Capitol balcony. One senator stood up and he demanded to know why they were being held like prisoners and treated like prisoners. He was hit right in the face with the butt of a rifle and was told to stop asking questions. The scene quickly changed to the floor where the former president stood in the area where the State of the Union address is given. He was in handcuffs and one ear was bleeding a very bright red, a not normal blood red or the color of blood that you would see flowing. It was a very bright red blood. And the other ear was bruised to the point that it was just black and blue. Like he'd been like if you were in an accident or car accident or something and you've been hit by a 2x4, it seemed his ear was just black and blue, bruised, deeply, deeply bruised. His eyes were very bloodshot and he appeared to barely be standing on his own. Matter of fact, the sergeant at arms was directly behind him, holding him up and was whispering into his right ear. He would occasionally squeeze his right arm as well. And the former president would wince almost like he was hurting. He was in pain. And he would almost go to his knees every time that the sergeant at arms would squeeze his right arm. And suddenly the former president pushed himself up towards closer to where from where he was. He stood up and went forward quickly. And he suddenly spoke out loud and he said, "It's not me they hate, it's you. It's not me they hate, it's you." He was then rushed out the door and a congressman came to the podium. And this person hit the gavel roughly enough that it broke both the gavel and it dented the desk, the table that they were sitting at. And this person said, "Now let's get the rest of them because it's our house now." A congressman looked up to the balcony and said, he just looked up and pointed and said, "Put them with the rest." Then the man that I see so often was now standing up in the middle of those 30 leaders who were in the balcony capital, the Capitol balcony. And he said loudly, "I never said to stop bracing." And he helped those beaten leaders to their feet and he walked out with them through the door, the back door of that balcony area. He looked back as he went through the door and he said these words, "Stay braced for his name's sake. Stay braced for his name's sake." And I believe a lot of what I saw about this was related to persecution coming. I'm not going to say names of the people that I saw just because I'm not. I've been offered money to share names of senators or whoever was doing certain things, and that's not what this is about. I just want you to understand what I saw enough was the nursery. There's going to be things happening in the church world that we've got to be ready to help disciple and get people ready to know who the Lord is. If you've not prepared, if you've not braced yourself, you know, that's up to you. I told people to aggressively pray, specifically pray and strategically pray about what they should do for their families and their situations. We do know that censorship is very much of a big deal right now. Even we're seeing where some states are wanting to ban certain types of social media. And so the censorship is a type of persecution and it's already here and it's going to be probably coming even stronger. So the other things we saw happen in the Capitol, that's where the legislative branches of our government pass bills. You want to make sure you're watching a whole lot on the domestic terrorism bill, watching what the NDAA is saying about that, paying attention to the whole idea of social media being censored at the rate and the way that it's being done. And I do believe very, very strongly that what I saw last night was coming persecution. And I believe that in one sense, what our former president said, "They don't hate me, they hate you." And what I heard in them was, you know, "It's not me they hate, it's you." And we're supposed to brace ourselves for his name's sake. So I'm not telling you to do anything with this dream. I'm telling you to pray about it. Ask the Lord to show you what it means for us. I believe the church has got to be very, very cautious and very, very careful, even in the things that we say and the way that we say them. At the same time, we cannot stop preaching and teaching the gospel. We cannot stop speaking the truth. And we are living in a time where the truth could very well become a criminal act. And I believe that's the most part of what we're seeing. But yet the same.
All right. Comments. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just going to say that in some denominations, pastors are already getting into legal trouble. I don't know if they're pastors, but people that have spoken out on the gay issues, they're already, it looks like they're going to be going to jail. So it's becoming a really big issue that you can't speak what the Bible says without going to jail.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
One thing that came to my mind as I was listening to that, and especially was the teachings we've had on the five paths, that could be a path that is a possibility depending on how God's people respond and behave themselves in this next little bit of time. If there is a massive, rebellion, like civil war type thing, that seems like that could be an end result. But I think if everybody, just does their fighting in their prayer closet, that's just a warning. That's my feeling right now.
Okay. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Yeah. That is like what we're on the verge of or is actually happening now. But it's like Tim said, I believe it's a warning, to pray against what we're seeing here. And we got to understand what it means symbolically, what it all is. But where he said they don't hate me, they hate you. I think he's talking about the Christians, but not just the Christians, the Lord, because what did the Lord say? So why are you persecuting me? And he's like, well, it's because he was persecuting his people, So I think that's what that means. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but that's what I think it means. Him being handcuffed, I think, is symbolic of him, his hands being tied or him being bound, in a sense, in what he can do. And therefore we need to pray prayers of forbidding and loosing, binding and loosing the, binding the enemy and loosing the Lord's angels to go forth. And I think those 20 senators, 30 senators or whatever, I think those are the ones that are wanting to stand up, and they're being verbally beaten. They're wanting to stand up, and they're being verbally abused, I think, is what that means. That's just some thoughts for now.
Okay, anybody else? Anybody else got an opinion on this? I think Coverstone believes it's a right now thing. The way he talked, looked like it. But whatever. Well, we can pray against it, can't we? We already have. And so let's do it again. I'm going to pray this prayer David gave us about loosing the angels. Can we do that? Y'all believe with me? All right. We're going on some offensive here. Lord, we just ask that you send the angels right now to bind all the demons working against the white hats and Trump in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you send them to bring the intelligence on our enemies and to destroy every invasion of their privacy, of the white hats' privacy, Trump's privacy, through the phones, computers, or anything. Any kind of forms of communications in the name of Jesus. We send the angels to stop all hindrances to getting the truth out on these criminals and for the evil things that they've done in the past. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, and it's going to be happening very soon in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you send out the angels to cast down all plots and schemes of the enemy to do any kind of a false flag against the American people in the name of Jesus, to expose it to the right people. And Father, we thank you for exposing it all in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you send the angels to bind all slander, all lies, and all evangelism of the enemy against the truth in Jesus' name. We bring down, we ask that you, Father, that you send the angels to bring down the national media, the mainstream media in the name of Jesus. Bring them down, Father. Expose them for who they are in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for doing that. Lord, we ask and we pray that you send your angels to bring down and to bind up the enemies around Soros for these Antifa and BLM people. And Lord, we ask that you expose them to the right people in Jesus' name, to the White House, to expose them to the FBI, to expose them to the police, to bring them out into the open. And Father, we praise you for doing that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you send your angels to reveal the sins of the enemy to one another, to cause confusion amongst their ranks in the name of Jesus. And Father, we count that as already done in Jesus' name. Well, they'll go to fight with one another in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask and we pray that you send your angels out there that's hindering anything from getting the things out that you want to get out, Father, in Jesus' name, to turn them loose to the American people in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about these inventions that have been shelved for decades that would do the American people good, free energy, all of those great and wonderful, magnificent inventions that have already been used, but not just for the elite, but not for the American people. And Father, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Expose the enemy for who they really are. And those people up in Congress, Lord, I ask and pray that you cause confusion in amongst their ranks, to confuse them and to bring about their downfall in a mighty way, Lord, to expose them for who they are and what they've done in Jesus' name. I'm talking from the highest person up there to the lowest in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Nothing can hinder what you've already started, and that's Cyrus being in his second term. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we look to you, not to Trump. We look to you for our salvation. And we just praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? You can. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, another thing is that I didn't mention was there's planes with the sensors. I think they're searching. It reminded me of what David was talking about. They're searching for dirty bombs and stuff like that. You know what Amen. I mean? So Lord, we just ask that you help them to search them out and find find every one of them, Lord. We know that there is this pestilence they're going to let loose. How they do that, I don't know, Lord. But, Lord, we just ask for your mercy that it not be as bad as it could be, that it only be as according to how you choose to use it and to bring repentance, Lord. And we just ask you to help them to find what it is, anything that they're searching for, that they can dismantle it, Lord, and get rid of it, Lord. And whatever it is that they have to do, we ask you to send forth your angels and help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We declare and decree this world free from the liberal left, in Jesus' name, from totalitarian left liberal regimes all over this world, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I'd like to pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you desire revival, and we do, and we just pray that you would make us ready, that we would bring many in that are willing to come in, and you will help them to receive, and you will help us to be able to prepare us to be able to receive these baby Christians, these baby believers, Lord. And I pray, Father, you give us time to have that peace in the midst of all what's been happening, that you would have that peace, that we would be able to give your word to those ones out there that you have called and chosen. And also, Father, I know that persecution is going to come, but I pray that you give us that time that we need for these baby Christians to be brought up before persecution comes in a big, big way, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for helping us, that we would endure to the end, that we would be saved. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Y'all believe it's done, don't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was talking to someone earlier, and wanted to talk about condemnation. When you come under what you perceive as judgment, how do we ascertain, how do we recognize when it's a judgment for something you've done, or judgment for not doing whatever it is that God told you to do? And I'm doing a terrible job at explaining this, but does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes we come under condemnation because we've been hit with something, like an illness or something, and we don't understand why it is, but we figure it out maybe, and we repent from it, but we're still under condemnation because the thing hadn't left us yet. Does that make sense? Okay. So how do we get out from under that? Yeah, Julie.
I've been there a little bit. I kind of know. it's warfare, and it's learning to discern the thoughts. And is the thoughts, if you give place to them and you accept those thoughts and you accept that you're guilty of whatever these thoughts are, because the accuser's always accusing us of our past, of our failures, of our mistakes, of our shortcomings, of our whatever it is he can, you know, get us thinking on. And then those thoughts become emotions, and those emotions then, you know, if we don't stop it there, it will become an action. Like he might actually say something out of your mouth, God forbid, and then it comes worse. So it's learning to discern the thoughts first. And if you've already confessed your sin, then God's cleansed you of it. He's forgiven you of it, and it doesn't exist anymore. And you have to then confess the Lord and confess it. He's taken that away. You don't have that. That's not you who does it. It's Christ in you. And your old man died. You reckon yourself dead to sin, alive unto God. And you fight the good fight of the faith, and you rebuke the condemnation. You rebuke the accuser, and you keep confessing the truth, and use your armor. And you have to, you know, you learn from it, so you get better at it. So when that stuff comes around again, you don't accept the guilt. You don't accept the thoughts of the enemy, because God's already taken care of it. He's already wiped the slate clean. If you've confessed it, it doesn't exist anymore in his book. And it's really learning to fight the good fight of the faith and discern the thoughts and making war on the enemy and not allowing him, not giving place to the enemy. But it is the thoughts, the emotions, and the actions, and that's his game. He's good at it, and he'll come in different ways. And even, you know, you have to keep checking your heart. It's like, okay, well, Lord, if I've done something, you got to show me. You know, but if your heart condemns you're not, you should have boldness before the throne of God. And we know healing is his will. So if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us, and we know we receive the things that we've asked of him. So it's just making sure your heart's right. And if your heart's right, you know, then, you know, what else can you do? It's a faith, and Satan's always trying to steal our faith in any way he can. So that's just it's his ammo. It's his plan, you know, but it's learning to overcome, and it's learning to overcome all that stuff. And we just have to fight the good fight, pick up your sword and let the enemy have it.
I believe what you're saying is that there's nothing that I can do in myself to satisfy God.
Nope.
That I'm doing everything right.
If you're doing everything you know to do right, based on your knowledge and your understanding of the gospel and sin, but the enemy comes in and wants to pervert your mind, your knowledge of everything. He will twist it. He'll pervert it. He'll accuse you. He'll put doubt in your mind. He'll put, well, you know, something to get you uncertain about who you are, or your rights, or your authority, or your place in, you know, your principality, where God's put you. You're seated in heavenly places, but he'll take anything and try to get you, knock you down. He wants you to fall, but God won't let you. You know, you just get back up.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, let me tell you, give you a testimony, something I went through recently and what the Lord taught me. The other day, I had a really good time with the Lord in the morning. And after I had my time with the Lord, I went and I was cleaning the house, and I don't even know how, you know, how it started, but at some point the enemy started coming and accusing me and basically condemning me for things in the past, and, you know, this is left undone and you need to go do this and whatever and da 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 da. And, you know, I was in the middle of cleaning and I was fighting it. I was fighting it. But then I would think, you know, one thing that the Lord told me, you know, like, okay, one time when I was, he showed me this, and this is what was going on too. You know, like in my mind, I would be like having a conversation with someone about something, where someone was previously offended with me about something, or I had a issue, confrontational thing or something. And I was thinking in my mind, you know, having a conversation with them in my mind, what I would say to them or whatever, to make my point, not necessarily to argue, but making my point in the word or whatever. But anyway, But the Lord said to me one time, Miss, you may not be outwardly arguing, but you're arguing, you know, you're arguing in a sense with them in your mind. And he says, I don't even want you to do that. So that was kind of go along. But the thing is, you know, the enemy just came in and really attacked because I had a really good time with the Lord and I was busy cleaning and I was not standing and taking my ground. I did not stop. And okay, enough is enough. And take my stand against the enemy. And so, you know, there, you know, and I was fighting it at times, and I know here heard the Lord telling me and all things, you know, don't even argue, you know, in your mind or try and debate in your mind or however you want to put it. And so then after I got done cleaning, you know, I had to repent to the Lord for allowing the enemy to do that to me and not taking my stand. You know, standing against him. So then come Saturday night, I was like really tired. And I could just feel this tension and you know, coming on me and my shoulders and everything. And, you know, and I went to bed and, you know, and I just said, I thank you, Lord, that when I get up in the morning, I'm going to feel good and I'm not going to have, you know, I'm just going to feel good. Well, I got up and I felt this a little bit as the day went. I got tensed up and really bad headache and da da da, and I'm like thinking, and I kept rebuking it, and I was like thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, you know why I repented, and you know what he told me? He says, Missy, I'm spanking you because I want you this to really hit home with you. You have to stand and make your, you know, yeah, you can repent, but that doesn't mean that you're not still not going to have consequences sometimes. The Lord really wants to make his point. So I'm like, okay, Lord, he wanted me to really understand. He didn't, because the enemy, because there's lots of times when I'm doing something, I'm busy doing something, and the enemy will come in and attack my mind. And I'll think about what he's saying rather than just automatically casting down. That's where the enemy can get me lots of times when I'm busy doing something. And so the Lord showed me, he says, I want you to understand you have to stop and you have to make a strong stand against the enemy. And the thing that the Lord reminded me of too is, you know, whether it's this, you're going through struggles and trials and tribulations, and your mind is on what you're going through, and it's such a heaviness and an oppressive feeling that the enemy has on you. One of the best ways to fight the enemy is to get him out of your mind is, okay, you made your stand and you told him to go, and if he persists, just start praying for other people. Get your mind off yourself and start praying for other people. So that's what the Lord's shown me recently about that. So I hope that helps. Well,
let's back up just a minute, Missy. You said that the Lord uses his judgment against you to make a point with you. So you had to have been in willful disobedience, right?
I guess in a sense, because I didn't make my stand like I should have. I wasn't necessarily in willful disobedience, but he still disciplines us. It's we go through things. It's a discipline to us so that we are disciplined in our fighting, that I'm not slack and I'm not complacent about it. He wanted me, I know that's what he told me. He says, I allowed this because I want you to really understand and not let the enemy do that to you anymore. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody, and I don't feel condemned by it at all.
Okay.
I'm grateful for it. Because okay. he wanted it to really sink in, even though I repented for being complacent about it and letting the enemy do it to me.
Well, the reason I said that, or mm-hmm. ask you that, is because of what the word says, you know. And in my humble opinion, there's only two reasons that judgment comes against people. And one is sin. The other is a test of your faith. And that's where I was coming from. So one of two things in my estimation, and what the word says, by the way, is that it had to have been a test of your faith or a sin thing. So help me out here. What am I missing? All right, I'm not trying to put you under condemnation, right. Missy. I'm not trying to do that at all. I don't want people to get misconceived as to what
right.
is going on here.
There was a thought that came to me, and then I just lost it.
I'm sorry.
That's
right. Julie, did you have some clarification on that?
Maybe just a little bit about sometimes it's like what Missy's gone through, what she's explained. I've kind of been there before. It's like a repeated thing. Like, I just feel like I'm going around and around and around. I'm not gaining ground. And it's like, the Lord is merciful and gracious, but he does want us to learn. It's like, okay, there were times he told me, it's like, I've given you the tools. You need to use them. And so, but it's like, but I'm, but we're still learning. We're children, we're growing up, we're learning how to use the sword. It's like the armor has to be, you know, it has to be proven. We have to, you know, so we go through things and God allows us things, but it's not like a willful sin, but it's like, okay, it's a failure, it's a shortcoming. But sometimes when, like, however many times this has happened to Missy or to me or whatever, it's like, okay, I want to get this. Lord, help me get this. You know, okay, so you get a harder lesson, maybe. And it's like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to do, I don't want this oppression. I don't want this attack okay. anymore. I don't want this. So it gets a little more tough, maybe. But sometimes Could I think be. He's dealing with our sin nature too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Angelica, go ahead.
Okay. I guess I have, well, I'll just confess that I was the one talking to Michael about this stuff. I was watching this.
Well, I wasn't going to say a thing, Angelica.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Because, you know, I feel like it's good because it's part of confession and just kind of a little okay. bit of a humbling for myself and maybe just kind of get a better understanding. So I was telling Michael, you know, I was listening to this video on, you know, judging by the spirit of grace. And, you know, the Bible says, you know, judge not that you be not judged. And so, you know, and one of the things that David was explaining was that a lot of the times we're under judgment and we don't realize it because we have judged somewhere. And I was wondering, because I was just kind of assessing my own spiritual life or whatever, as I tend to do. I'm kind of like, make a science project out of everything. Lord forgive me, but I just kind of tend to do that. And I think, okay, well, if this is not yet manifested, you know, I've been believing for this, praying about this, perhaps it's possible I'm under judgment, right? And of course the enemy's always going to bring in that condemnation, right? When you're kind of, bring in the doubt or bring in whatever, like, you know, however he can, just like it's been stated. But, you know, my kind of question was, you know, how do we know that, like, you know, I've had my own sin nature, what I've discovered about myself that, you know, that's dead and gone in Jesus' name, but I've had a problem with judging in the past, you know, judging myself and not necessarily judging those without, but judging those that should know better, or at least that I think should know better, you know? And I've had to repent, and I know I've got severe humbling because of that. But it's something that my mind, it's like, it's so hard to work out of my mind to stop being that way, you know, is just something that I really just have to really just, you know, try to remember the word, like, Lord, help me, like, help me, help me, help me. I'm always crying out to God, Lord, help me, help me, help me, you know? and so anyway, but I was, you know, I was listening to this teaching, and it's like, I think that my problem is, and this is just me specifically, is that I don't know the scripture well enough to the part where, you know, where God has forgiven your sins, past, present, future, what people are saying, you know, where God, he's forgiven you, you know, all of your sins, and, you know, they're not brought to his remembrance anymore. Or perhaps I don't believe that, or I've just not looked at it well enough, but I'm just kind of expressing myself here. And so, Lord, forgive me, because I know that is sin and I need help. But anyway, that's where I was coming from.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Dave, did you have your hand up a minute ago? Did you want to say something right quick?
Well, I did, just for a minute. I always have to go back to 1 John. And it's very true what he says. 1 John 9 says, well, we'll just go from 5 to 10. This is a message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth, and we do not, and the truth is not in us. So walking in darkness is, you know, you're not being truthful. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. That's walking in darkness, and you know it's darkness. But he says, but if we walk in the light, which is the word that we get daily and with each other, the fellowship, and we're cleansing each other, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're just going to take that for what it says. It's true. We just receive it. We're cleansed from all our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we've all realized we came from that sin nature, and it's something we were given. It was God's plan that we would go through this, so that we would need a savior. So we would be humbled, and we go to him for our salvation and our cleansing. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise. It's not, well, maybe I'll cleanse you. It's no, it's what he's going to do. He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He didn't say he didn't do it. He said he did it. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we know we all sinned. We confessed our sin. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything else we've got that would possibly retain sin on us. If we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we're walking in the light, and we're having this fellowship, and we're with each other, which is in the light, and we're going over God's word, and we're believing what it says, we're walking in that light, we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. As long as we're not walking in darkness, walking in darkness is holding on to the sins and not willfully letting it go. But if you're willfully not walking in darkness, and you're just being stumbled once in a while, you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, period. That's how it goes. Now, if we want to allow our conscience to continue to be trained to condemn us, when God's forgiven us, then we have to confess that as a sin, because now we're not believing God has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We're not believing that he's forgiven us for our sins, which he said he did by the blood of Christ. Let's confess that as a sin and say, Lord, take that sin away from me. I want to believe I have that forgiveness, that righteousness you gave me, that propitiation, that atonement for my sin. I believe I have that covering. I believe I have that right to be in your boldness to come before the throne now. I have that grace. So the only thing that wants to take that away is Satan, so you can't walk into this newness of life, which we all have. And we don't want to let that happen, because if Satan can take that away, he's going to defeat us. So we're not going to be defeated. We're going to stand on the promises of God, walk in this newness of life where his son Jesus will cleanse us from all our sin, and we can be faithful. We can have faith in what he says, that what he said is true. That's all I wanted to say on that. And the biggest thing is you can stand on that. Once you do have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, renews that faith in you so you can stand on these promises. People that have a hard time standing on this generally don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the enemy is able to come in and steal that. Not that I'm saying you don't have it, but renew the call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to grab that daily too. I mean, there's times where we feel like we need to be refilled. Well, let's just get refilled so we have these promises come back in and take residence where they should, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God to help us overcome. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm gonna lower my hand and just listen for a while. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
Oh, you have to yield to Julie because she's a lady, so ladies first.
Did she have her hand up?
She did.
I think she's...
Just go ahead, Greg.
All right, okay. Look, this is a really tough question, and I don't know. I'm not going to say I have the answer. I know I don't. But whether or not we are afflicted because of sin, which we just confessed, acknowledge, and all the promises of 1 John 1:9 are all ours, or it's a proving of our faith, I tend to think the answer to the question is this, in that in humility, because God gives grace to the humble, and you know, it's the humble person he exalts. I don't know how he fixes situations. I have, you know, some things that we can't fix, even if we've messed it up ourselves or been involved in messing up, but he can. And I tend to think that in the situation, we just need to wait on him to lift us up. And there was a verse that came to mind, and it came to mind, the reference I didn't know, but I did find that I've posted it in Hosea 6:1. And it's part of a bigger thing in Hosea, I'll acknowledge that. But come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. And then it goes on from there. So I would recommend that. But I think there's if it's a sin thing, we've dealt with it. If it's a proving of our faith, and, you know, in my experience, sometimes these things can go on for years. And you know, in some things, in my case, it's been like into the over a decade. It's a waiting on him, you know. And the annoying thing about God, sorry, God, is that he doesn't seem to understand time like we do. Because we want everything fixed now, and our perspective is this life, and his perspective is eternity. I would think the answer to the question is always being humble, because then we get grace, which I take grace to be not just that, you know, God's tolerance of us, but that, you know, I can't define grace. I really can't. But it's an overwhelming power. Even in the situation we're looking at, which is very much up the front with the US political situation, but it's, believe me, well, in my opinion anyway, it's far huger than that. It's that humility that gives us, gives us that power. It doesn't give us the power. It has that power work for us. And in the timing of it, which is, as I say, because we think of ourselves as finite, that's his department. And he will lift us up. He promises to. You know? One of the things I was reading a little earlier, some stuff from Derek Prince, and this is just a portion of what I was reading there, but he talks about the word, the Hebrew word, A-V-O-N, which kind of makes a whole different meaning, the term, you know, ding-dong Avon calling. But it's the word that's sometimes translated punishment and sometimes translated iniquity. It seems to combine both. Like when Cain said, you know, the punishment is too much for me to bear, it meant both things, both the sin and the consequence. But it was the same Avon that was put upon that the scapegoat, or was put upon Jesus. So those consequences have been taken care of. So all we're waiting on is well, staying humble before the Lord and let him sort the situation out. You know, and we do what he tells us to, but we can't fix it. You know, I'm mindful, for one, you know, those who've been praying over Ali's situation. I'm certain that she's not, you know, hiding any sin and stuff like that with all the numbness she's going on. There's something else happening, and he will lift her up, or he'll lift me up. He'll lift whoever he needs to, or he promised to lift up. And we, the hard part for us is we need to stay humble in that situation before him. That's my two cents worth. Lady
That's
Julie.
That's a good 2 cents. It's good. That's good. He loves a humble person. He'll answer you quicker. Go, Julie.
I would just add one other thing that was coming to my mind is, you know, after we've repented, we're humble before the Lord and, you know, broken before him. And it's like, Lord, this is bigger than me, but I can't fix myself, right? But I'm still going to give God the faith and give him the glory that he already took care of this problem, whatever it is. And, you know, Lord, give me the faith that I need to believe you and walk it out, and give me the grace, because your word says it's by grace have I been saved through faith, and it's not of myself, not of my works, thus, you know, not of works that any man should boast about it. So, you know, it's also this bringing us to the end of ourselves. You know, if it's something we're struggling with or whatever, then, you know, God will give us the grace to do it. He is on our side. And the other thing that I remember David saying is, you know, don't dwell in any kind of condemnation and let, you know, beat yourself up about over it. You know, I did it again. Oh, I did it again. I did it again, or whatever. But, you know, don't dwell there. Don't let the enemy beat you up over it, because he will. But, you know, that's when you just like, okay, now I confess God. Now I confess that Jesus took this. He bore it in his body. You know, he bore my sin in his body on the tree that I might die to sin and live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes I have been healed. And then fight through it, right through the thoughts and the emotions the enemy is still trying to put on you, and get up and rejoice. And you know, and it's all about the faith thing. And, the you know, we're already perfect in Christ, and our faith is accounted as righteousness before God. You know, we can't do any better than that, you know. And we're asking for his help. He's going to give it. But, you know, the enemy wants to keep us condemned. And because if you cannot have faith and condemnation at the same time. And if we don't have faith, you know, we're pretty useless, you know. So that's just part of his ammo to keep us beaten. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. Thank you all for the words of wisdom and sharing the word. I feel like I need to repent, and I'd like to pray, and if anyone would like to pray for me, that'd be great. So okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father God. I know that this is something you've been working on in my heart, Lord. And it's been a long road down this path, Father God. And I do humble myself before you, Father God, and I do repent for pride. I do repent, Father God, for self-condemnation and putting myself under the law, Father God, and judging myself by the law. I thank you, Lord God. I know that you took that sin nature and nailed it to the cross. I know that in my heart, Lord, and I just have a hard time walking that out and, standing on that. And I just confess, Father God, that I need help believing in my atonement, that I'm cleansed, that I'm healed, that I'm righteous before you, Lord God, because when I'm approved by you, Father. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Lord. And I know that we have peace with God because of the atonement and the blood of Jesus. So I just humble myself before you, Father God, and just confess that I'm broken in my mind, in my heart concerning this, Lord. And I just ask that you supernaturally give me the grace to overcome this area in my life, to be able to believe you at your word. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar before God. So I just cast down all thoughts and lies contrary to that, Lord. And I cast on all fear, Father God, that I'm somehow missing it or bypassing your word or deceiving self or anything like that, Lord, that you're judging me according to my heart and according to the understanding that I have. And you're giving me the grace to just walk it all out, Lord God, and I don't have to do anything. So I do ask that you would just kind of release me from this bondage, Lord, and give me the grace to move forward, because I do believe in your wonderful promises, Lord God, but I need to believe them for myself, Lord God, and not just for others. And Lord, I want to walk in love. I don't want to judge others according to the law. I want to be judged by mercy and by grace, Father God. And so I need to be able to do that with myself so that I can also do that with others to a greater degree. So I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for her confession. And Father, we ask and we pray that you place it in her heart to trust you, Lord, from this point on. And not only to trust you, but believe that it's gone. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for placing in her, in Angelica, great and bold faith to believe everything your word says. And we praise you for it, Father. Now we ask, Lord, that you fill her with your Holy Spirit, with the joy and the peace of freedom from the law that's been a bondage to her and many other people, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We break the power right now of flesh and Satan off of her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for freedom from this point on, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I consider it done in Jesus' name. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. And amen. All right, anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I did post a link in the chat. It's my Sharebox folder with Dropbox. I do have a folder in there called Faith, Grace, and Unbelief. It's all David's teachings and maybe some of yours, Michael. But it's all a teaching on faith, on grace, on those things that... And righteous by faith, because, you know, when I had to go through my battles, I made sure I had a folder I could go to that would, you know, bring me that encouragement and that knowledge of the forgiveness of sins that I needed to constantly be reminded to go back. And we all need to get that once in a while to get the full gospel and understand what it means, what's been provided. So I do have those folders, you know. I have those in my MP3 player I can go to anytime and, you know, get built up where I need. So I put that in there, that link, if anybody wants to look those over. It's kind of helps get you through those times. So it's all good stuff to have.
Amen. I don't think there's anyone in here that hasn't at one point or another thought that they weren't doing enough for God. You know, we could do a whole lot more for God. You know, well, no, maybe you can't. Maybe you're just right where God wants you. And he's trying to bring you along to perfect you as you come along in him and get rid of that stuff that we have. So, Lord, I just thank you for helping us all to getting rid of that notion that we can do more to help you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about when Missy started, I had some thoughts about what she was saying, and then the track of everything kind of went another direction, and that's why I kind of bowed out there. But the Lord kind of brought back to me just now, just a thought. And it kind of fits together with some other things. It fits together with what everybody is saying, basically. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what I was hearing Missy saying is a struggling inside, which every one of us can relate to. But the thing that I guess I was feeling or thinking is that when you ask Michael, when you ask Missy if there's only two things there, it's either sin or it's a trial. And I agree with that, but I also think that the sin can be in two aspects, and the one aspect we deal with through our confession. If we confess our sins, we're able to be cleansed of that sin and all unrighteousness. God puts us back into that right standing with him. Excuse me. But the thought that came to me is based upon the other aspect of sin, and that's our inheritance that we received from our birthline, our bloodline in the earth, in the world. And the thought that came to me is, are we guilty of the sin nature that we have inherited? Are we guilty of that nature that we were given? Because I've heard people say in excuse of their sin, hey, don't blame me, I was born this way, you know, as a way to excuse their sinful behavior or whatever. And I've had to say, newsflash, buddy, we've all been born this way, you know. Every one of us have gotten the same package, you know, in one form or another. But the point being is that confession of our sin is that aspect where we receive that forgiveness. But the other aspect has to be crucified. And that aspect, and both are done in faith. And when I was hearing, I think Julie talking about, you know, you've been in those situations when this sin nature that is boiling under the surface, and you receive certain temptations or certain thoughts, and it just fits perfect with what is boiling under the surface at that time, and you bite. You take it. Yes. You know, you might have a thought there. Oh, that may be right. Oh, you know, I think you could be right on that, because I'm really feeling that way, or whatever it would be. And you get sucked down that thing, down that vortex, so to speak, because there's an attraction or an allowance for that within you. And we can call it the sin nature, or whatever we want to call it. It's that which was crucified on the cross with us, but for some reason there's remnants of the of the environment within us. And so that's, I believe, what God wants us to be aware of in order to, by faith, just the same faith that we use to confess our sins, and then with good old bare-knuckle, bold faith, not caring about what we're feeling inside, we just have to hold on to that and confess our sins and believe it with bold, you know, with whether we want to or not, whether we feel good or bad or not, we just got to grab onto it, hold on, and say, no, this is what he said, this is what I'm hanging on to right now. But you may not feel that way because of this other thing happening there, which needs to be crucified, which has been crucified. And I believe that's right there is where the battle I know within me is, because I know it's been crucified, but there's still something happening in there under the surface, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this I believe is why God is bringing us through this thing, because I think he's going to put the final death nail on that. But we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it. And well, I think that's all I need to say. That's just what I'm feeling.
Amen. Judy and Sue, what in the world are y'all looking at? For goodness sake.
Y'all. We're trying to save that thing that we're trying to save the thing that David had up there.
Well, just click on it. Here's why that works. If you click on it, it'll take you right to it.
Well, I think we finally figured it out. But I didn't know you could do this like that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just wonder. I thought maybe there was a fly or something inside your screen there or something you was trying to look at.
That was a test to see if you were a believer or not.
Stink bug or something. Amen. Okay, good, Pat. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else? I saw somebody had their hand up a while ago, but they put it back down. Who was that? Maybe nobody. Okay, we have a special treat tonight, direct from Tasmania, coming up here and going to give us a great and wonderful testimony. In English. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, everyone. I am coming to you from Tasmania. I have a trial and a testimony that I would love to share. About 2 weeks ago, I started struggling with breathing on a Saturday. And I just couldn't get enough air in, and that sort of progressed to the Sunday where I was really just gaping for air continuously throughout the day and yawning. But we live in a situation where we're an hour and a half away from the closest healthcare facility, and we haven't really needed healthcare facilities for a very long time now because of our faith and because of the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. So it wasn't like it was running through my mind that we needed to go anywhere or do anything. But on Sunday night, it was quite severe. And then on Monday, it impacted everything. That obviously, like if I can't breathe properly, I'm not going to have a lot of energy. And by Monday night, it got quite bad. I think it was Monday night. I don't know what the days are, but anyway, it got quite bad. And Rian, my husband, prayed for me, and we started watching a teaching on the man, child, and bride in the lounge room on YouTube, one of David's teachings. And I just couldn't get air. So I got up quite abruptly and I said, I'm going to bed. And I went and laid on the bed, and I just, I couldn't breathe. I was hyperventilating, and he came in and he started praying for me. And I was crying because it's uncomfortable. And he then said, do you want me to call David or Michael? And I said, I don't know. Like, I just don't know anyway. I kept on crying and praying. And eventually this kind of peace came over me. And I said to him, I'm going now and you're going to be okay. And the kids are going to be okay. And I've actually spoken to the children about it. So it's not like it's the first time they're going to hear it. Just, you can see them in the background. They're fine. Anyway, so I closed my eyes and I was immediately with Jesus. How I know that is because I have a tree that on a normal day, when I use my treadmill, I run towards this tree because it's actually two trees together, but the shapes of the tree make up Jesus in my imagination. So I just run to him when I'm on the treadmill. And I knew it was him, and the whole, everything was glowing white. And the only thing I couldn't see was his face because that was like the leaves of the trees. And anyway, I was so blessed and so peaceful, and I felt such a joy. I don't think I'll ever be able to explain the joy of just being there. But he said to me, you have to come back now. You have to go, he said, you have to go back now because you need to gain more glory for the kingdom. Oh, and did I sob? I just could not, because now I can't breathe. It's not like it's better, but I didn't want to come back because who's going to choose something else other than Jesus, right? So anyway, so I was sobbing. And then I think Michael was on the phone with Rihanna. I think so. And we just prayed, and Rihanna just kept on praying for me, and he kept on saying, don't give up. And I said to him, it's not really like I'm giving up. It's just like, I don't know what else to do. Like, if I can't get the air in, I mean, what are your options? But anyways, the Lord sent me back, right? So with that comes a great confidence that doesn't really matter whether I'm getting the air in, he's going to give me the exact amount of air to survive, because it's not my time. He doesn't want me yet there with him. He needs me here. And then I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random, and I got Psalm 144 verse 9, which says, I will sing a new song. And I will sing a new song to you, O God, upon a 10-string harp I will play to you. And the next day was exactly the same. It's not like there was nothing was better, except that silent confidence that I'm not going anywhere. I don't have to be stressed out or anything. And during that morning when I woke up, interestingly, I did sleep. I could, when I'm sleeping, I was fine. But when I woke up, I asked the Lord for a verse at random. This is how I start my day every day, is I ask him for a word and I flip open and I put my finger down. It's getting a bit trickier now because I'm getting to know the Bible a little bit better, you know. Like in the beginning, you can kind of, it's just all, but I've got to kind of mix it up a bit so that I, you know, I don't go where I want to go. And anyway, I opened the Bible on the front page of the New Testament, and it just said New Testament. It didn't, you know, it doesn't say anything else. Well, not in my Bible anyway. I was like, really? I really need something more. Like, I really want something more than this. But I realized, like, I get this clean slate, right? Like, I get this new promise of life and this new covenant. And we just kept on praying and kept on walking in faith. And yeah, like it was a big trial, and Friday came, and I think I was on the, I can't remember what happened, but every time I confessed it and shared this trial with someone, like the symptoms got less. And on Sunday when we shared on the Saturday evening group, which is just a smaller group of UBN people that also get together.
You need to be quiet.
I felt much better. And today I've only had to yawn, I think, twice, where normally it was like yawning every 4 or 5 minutes. So my jaw is feeling better and I've got a lot more energy. Oh, I also, even though I was like that, I still had a run on Wednesday. I still decided to run for, normally I'd do a little bit more, but I could only do a K and a half because I just really couldn't get it in. But I just felt like I have to do everything I would normally do because what's the alternative? Like I'm here. And I can't explain. I think I'm changed forever because I'm quite prone to, and this ties in so beautifully with what we've been talking about the whole morning, but you know, that's in nature. Some people are more prone to being organized. Others are prone to being less organized. Those taken to the extreme are both in and of themselves sinful, right? So I'm more prone to wanting things a certain way and that sort of thing, or used to be before, you know, being dead in Christ. And then I really was dead in Christ. And I just, like, my house is messy right now, man, and I don't care. And I think that's going to be something that maybe stays, I'm hoping, forever, because it brings a lot more peace. And I also have less words to say because every word needs more breath. So I think the Lord's shown me that I just need to monitor everything that comes out. And there's just been a greater appreciation for my children. I was so grateful on Monday when I said to Rian, I'm going to go now and you and the kids are going to be fine. On Monday night, I had just a special moment with them just before bedtime, which is rare because anybody with small children knows that hour before bedtime is the pits, right? Like it's not very redeeming normally, but they were just sweet little moments. And I thought, oh, how nice that God would do that for me before I go. But he wasn't. He was showing me that needs to be the norm. And so the past week has been really, really, really blessed and really special. And we got a lot more word. We got a lot more clarity on it. I don't know if this makes much sense, but I'm very blessed to be alive. I'm very happy that I'm back. I'm very happy that that I didn't have to use the arm of the flesh. I think it was quite wonderful not to. Our new believer friends who live in the area said to me, at what point, because we saw them on Friday and told them, and they were quite upset that we hadn't shared with them before or during, but we didn't want I'm not saying that they wouldn't have had faith, but we didn't want the possibility of anyone speaking anything except pure faith. And so we told them, and she said to me, well, why? I could have looked after your kids. And I said, my kids were good this week. Like, I didn't need anyone to help me with my kids. And then she said, at what point would you consider going to a hospital? And I said, I don't think there's any point. Maybe if something's like dangling and you just need it sewn up. You know, like, but other than that, I reckon God's got it covered, right? And even then, like, yeah, he's got it all covered. So their eyes just like stretched wide and said, so you wouldn't go? And I said, I just don't feel that I would need to. I just really don't feel that. And I don't say it to boast. If you knew me before I was saved, this would make you laugh out loud. So I'm grateful and humble.
We're grateful too that the Lord spared you, because we're blessed by you, Claire. Thank you so much for that testimony. Thank you, Father, for bringing her back and all her wisdom and her humor. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for the Tasmanian angel, not devil, but angel, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Wonderful testimony. We'll probably get lots of comments on that one. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I take us up to where we need to. Anybody need any prayer before we go? That was good. Hey, yeah, go ahead. Did you have something else?
One more thing. After that, I know Michael and David prayed for us, and that really did strengthen me. But there were some members of the brethren here who sent prayers to us afterwards, just quick little texts. And just reading those prayers strengthened me. And I was thinking about it this morning because I was reading a prayer that somebody sent to me. And I thought, it's not that I need that person's faith, because I had the faith, right? And I don't say this to brag. I'm just saying as it is. I had the faith that I'd be fine because the Lord said it would be so. Maybe not on standing on the word, but on the experience that I had. which also shows me you don't always get an experience, right? So I'm very blessed to have that. But those prayers and those messages build people up. Like it's important to share in the body, because the wisdom and the word, like it's so tightly knit. It makes me think of, I knit you together in your mother's womb, and the church is the mother, and we are knitting each other together. Christ in us is knitting each other together to form this perfect body. And it's just wonderful. And it was so uplifting and faith building receiving those messages. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Claire and Rian and us too, because it helps us too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got a final prayer or anything before we get out, before we leave? I don't like to say get out, close out. I don't want it to sound like I wasn't wanting to be here, because I was. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for answering all of our prayers tonight. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Thank you, Lord, that nobody in here from this point on is going to have any condemnation or judgment against themselves. In Jesus' name, thank you for clarity, Lord. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for discernment in each and every one of us, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for the things that you're doing in us and knitting us together like Kurt's dream of the golden thread that knits our heart together. And I can see the Lord just pulling it in our hearts and then pulling it tight, pulling us closer and closer to him and each other. And Father, we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight as we do about your business, Lord. If we're sleeping, Lord, give us a good night's sleep. And if we've got more to do in the daytime, Lord, we thank you for guiding our steps. And we praise you, Father, for all that you do in Jesus' name. You're a good God and we love you, Lord. We just love you so much, Father, and we give you glory and praise for the work that you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. Good night, y'all. Thank you so much for showing up tonight and blessing us all.